Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go. Good night, baby.
Talking sports for the
right
man.
Place, people.
Asparagus Rob is here. Channel. Yes, sir. We are officially ready to talk some sports. Officially, kind of letting the dust settle after a very, very interesting weekend. The NFL season is wrapping up, ready for the playoffs. Baseball's in session. College football championship wrapping up that. Basketball, college basketball series, NBA. You got a lot of things to discuss as always. But man, I'm excited because. We have a lot of topics to dive into, and we are officially, if you didn't know, I kind of reset it, but this is like our, it's kind of our unofficial, but looking at the show started, Rob, about 600 shows in, so I'm dubbing this the 600th episode of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. So again, 600 episodes, if you will. So way to start off the year. I know we'll get JQ on here next time to kind of celebrate some things too, but again, just excited about where we are as well. But without further ado, we're going to check in. We're going to go around the horn. I guess, Rob, you're going to show up a little later. But T-Rob, how you doing this evening?
Man, doing outstanding, baby. Ready to get this party started. We can do what we do.
You sleeping back there. Gary, how you feeling this evening, sir?
You know, I'm doing good. Rob and I had a chance to get together with our wives and have a nice dinner, and that was really nice. And Rob, he bought me a gift.
He did buy me a gift.
Yeah,
too. Yes.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah,
nice
yeah.
Stocking cap. Yeah.
You bought him a cowboy hat, Rob?
He did.
I did. Can't believe
he did. He said it was out of his collection, and I really appreciate that. Collection of one.
Nice.
But it was nice.
Yeah, where's my Dawkins at?
Got your Braves hat, man. You can't spend money on the Falcons.
I really appreciate it. We had a great time. First thing Rob asked the waitress
nice
is,
one too, so.
do you have any asparagus on the menu?
was that the first question he asked for real?
Pretty quick.
We had a waiter.
But you know what? I got to say that, you know, Rob and his wife, they look great. They're, they're really watching what they're eating. And then they're sitting next to Arnett and I, and we're eating every damn thing we can get our hands on. And but the self-discipline was fantastic. And I was impressed. But it's always great. It's always great.
This is the February. We'll be what we want again.
Well, I got to tell you, Rob, you and the wife motivated Arnett and I, and I am having a little wine tonight as my tradition, but this is all I'm having right there, about 2.5
there
ounces.
You go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good for
this
the
is
heart,
my.
Man.
I told Rob when we were there. This is my my wine night. Is the two? You know, it's the Tuesday or Wednesday where whenever we have our show. So it's been my tradition. But one thing I want to talk about before we get started in the show is the banter between Shaq and Stephen A. Smith. You know, Shaq is a diehard Cowboy fan. And he used to lie to his friends when he was growing up, and he would tell them that his real dad was Too Tall Jones. Anyway, he called into Stephen A. Smith's show at some point, and they got into kind of a heated discussion. You know, Stephen A. is ripping into the Cowboys every chance he gets, and rightfully so. But they made a bet with properties.
Oh.
Jack with a house and Stephen A. Smith with a house and 50 acres that he owns somewhere in Texas. Yeah. And the bet is,
wow,
which I thought it was a horribly stupid bet on Shaq's part, he bet Stephen A. Smith the Cowboys would not only make it to the Super Bowl, but they would win the Super Bowl, and he bet this house, and Stephen A. Smith says, I've got a property too. It's got 50 acres, and I'll put that up against you.
Wow.
Oh, my God. He must, like, want a house.
That's a little out of my that's a little out of my wheelhouse there.
I agree. That's pretty bold, man, because, again, that's a lot of
Let's
go know something I don't know. Man, that's like Charles Barkley over here.
I hope he does, but I don't think he does.
Wow.
I just think he got caught up in the moment, I guess. Ooh. Or maybe he thought Stephen A. would not say, oh, you know, that's too much or whatever, and he said, yeah, I'll take you up on that.
Oh, my God.
And then they talked about, does this home have a clear title and all this kind of stuff. And you go, oh, yeah, I own this property outright. I own this property outright. And so we'll see how that.
That is.
I'm hoping
crazy.
Shaq wins the bet. I don't think he's going to, but I hope he does.
Of course you do, Gary.
But doing well.
I love it. I love it. That is how
Very
we do an intro to the show. Yeah, big time ballers over there slinging houses. That's a whole other conversation. Maybe, you know, that's my goal to have some real estate and sling around in the future for sure. But I'm going to hold it actually. But that's a whole other conversation. But again, we appreciate everyone jumping in. We got a lot of things to talk about, man. First and foremost, let me throw out the numbers to those that want to call to the show. It's the same number, the 424-243-9519. That's the number that Asparagus Rob and Gary called into. Follow us on X, which is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if you go to Facebook page, our Facebook page, which is Talking Sports with 12th Man or 12th Man Sports, you can find us in there. We post a lot of things. Rob did post his most updated mock draft on there, so we're going to talk about that
first
as well.
First mock draft.
As well as his first mock draft, yes, his NFL one would say, yeah, obviously for 2024, because apparently that's where we are currently right now. So I'm excited to see about that. You know, again, we didn't want to talk about that, but we are officially here, and we'll dive into some players that we have for that too. So let's get this party started. Rob, I'm going to really fly through these first, man, because honestly, I'm just going to say, yes, Gary Sheffield belongs to the Hall of Fame. That's my guy. And I want to talk about Jim Harbaugh and what's happening too. So, you know, again, I can care less about baseball. No, no offense, but we got a lot of football things to talk about too, man. So that's just really quickly from that perspective.
Yeah, I totally agree. Gary Sheffield, when you look at his stats, man, I mean, he was an elite slugger, man. To see, surprisingly, this is his last opportunity to get into the Hall of Fame. And you look at his career stats, .292 batting average, 509 home runs. Is anybody with more than 500 home runs not in the Hall of Fame? 1,676 RBIs, 2,689 hits, 9-time All-Star, 5-time Silver Slugger, 6 times in the top 10 in the MVP voting, a member of 1997 World Series champion Florida Marlins. How is Gary Sheffield not in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame? That shocked me when I heard that and saw that today.
It shocked me too because I thought he already was.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he already was in the Hall of Fame. This is a no-brainer. You know, absolutely yes.
He'll get in.
Yeah.
He wasn't the very friendly lot of writers. He kind of had a reputation. So I think that's why they're making him wait for last year. So I think he'll definitely get in. If not, like you said, Rob, that's a travesty because that dude is ultra-talented. You see the numbers speak for themselves. So very violent swing, man. I mean, whenever he played for the Braves, I mean, that dude was just
always that bat would always be swinging.
Yeah, it was always going right.
Oh, yeah.
That dude was violent. Every hit was like a loud. I mean, he was like Pujols, man. Every time he like connected, it was like dang. He was drawing some contact, man. So that dude was a great.
Well, with that bat movement that he had, you know, I was always thinking that gosh, it's going to be the wrong timing when that ball gets over the plate. But for some reason, he was able to get that bat off of his shoulder and come around and swing violently.
That dude was great.
Yeah.
And as far as Jim Harbaugh is concerned, you know, if he does leave Michigan, I still think him remaining in Michigan is an option. But if he goes to the NFL, to me there's three teams you got to pay attention to. Well, four, actually. The first thing you got to think about, does he want to be in the same conference with his brother John Harbaugh? If he doesn't, if he wants to go to the NFC, then I think Atlanta and Washington will be in play, right? Washington, new ownership group, ton of money. You know, he'll be in the same market with his brother John, but in a whole separate conference. Him being in Washington with John being in Baltimore in the same DMA practically. And of course, Atlanta, with some of the weapons that they have, they get a quarterback, you know, so I would think that, you know, he could also consider that if he wants to strictly stick to the NFC. Now, if he's open to going to the AFC, the Chargers with Justin Herbert is going to be an attractive option for him, right? Having that quarterback already in play with some experience, and they have some talent on that roster too. And the last one I'll mention, just for the legacy of their organization, is the Raiders. You know, have an opportunity to possibly – bring that franchise back up if they decide to move away from Antonio Pierce. So if he does,
Travis,
those are the four. Those are the four franchises that came to mind for me. Not necessarily Seattle or Tennessee or Carolina for me. My thoughts is you probably don't want to deal with the owner there in Carolina. So I mean that's just my thoughts. And if New England opens up, you know, I think they'll lean toward Mike Vrabel, so I don't think that'll be an option for Harbaugh either.
I agree.
And yeah, I think as Harbaugh has evolved as a person and a head coach, you know, initially when he was with the Niners, and, you know, they really bought into him, and then he kind of, at the end, was kind of wearing on them, you know, the players. So as we evolve and we learn from, you know, different coaches and, you know, that sort of thing, I think in this go around, I think he had the 49ers humming. He really did. And he had them buying in for quite a while. So if he can keep that and eliminate, I guess, some of the other stuff which pushed his players away from him, you know, I think he'll be a good NFL coach again.
Yeah.
No matter where he goes.
Yeah.
I don't want him to go to Washington because I think he'll be a good coach, and they've got a lot of money, and I think their organization is on the upward. So I want him to really fail at this head coaching thing.
Yeah. Just like I don't want him to go to Atlanta or Carolina.
No.
Yeah. I didn't think he was a fit for Atlanta because, you know, I guess the power thing, I don't know if he was okay with something with you know, Blank and McKay. But, you know, again, you know, it's definitely worth the shot. That's interesting you said that, Rob. I definitely think he wants to go more on the South. I think he wants, on the West Coast to the Chargers. I thought that was kind of the best situation for him because I felt he was kind of sick of the cold weather with Michigan, but, you know, obviously if he wants to kind of be in that same brother, that would be a good look. But again, I just felt that was kind of an easier situation for him. Even though, you know, the Chargers do have some cap issues to kind of look at. You know, again, he can come in and solidify the defense, and he's already got a quarterback, so that's half the battle. And we know that the Chargers have underachieved severely. You know, you still got Khalil Mack, you still got some players. But it looks like, you know, it's kind of picking which one you want to go through, which one has kind of like the best situation too. Atlanta's got some talent. We're a quarterback away apparently, but, you know, Herbert is already established. So it kind of depends on which direction you want to go if you want to be kind of in a warmer climate, if you will. So he's got options, which is a good place to be, right?
Well, Andre, how would you feel if they announced here in the near future, whatever, that he was going to go to the Falcons? Would you be good with that?
Absolutely. I'd need to win. I mean, absolutely I'd be good with that. You know, better than Bill Belichick. Oh, my God, that's driving me up the wall. If that's the case, not only because of I think he's past his prime, but the whole Patriots thing, guys. I mean, I don't care how enamored you are with him, Arthur Blank. That's just a bad look, no matter how you spin it. But, yeah, I would be ecstatic because, you know, as Rob mentioned, that dude's a winner. You know, obviously he can come in with instant credibility. We finally have somebody that I kind of feel like we're kind of a laughing stock somewhat of the NFL. So we kind of get a chance to kind of get some credibility. You know, once we get the quarterback, that's half the battle, I seriously think. So I think it would be good luck, honestly. I still know if he'd be putting up with Arthur Blank and that kind of that triumvirate of power. So that's my kind of thing. And if he wants too much power, you know, so which that dude should get as much power as he can, you know, because he's a football guy, to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy with that, 1,000%. What else do you want to talk? So we can talk again. I want to talk about some teams that missed on Lamar Jackson. We're going to talk about the top NFL teams going to the playoffs. This is going to be interesting, Gary. And I want to hear your comments about, you know, Black Monday, what happened, too. So really quickly, I'm going to talk about the 9 teams that passed on Lamar Jackson. This is pretty interesting if you look at the teams. And all these teams could use Lamar Jackson, which is crazy. So you had the Commanders, you know, obviously – you know, the Sam Howell experiment was a failure. The Jets, now the Jets were obviously they got Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, they were kind of, you know, again, they had a great defense. So this is a situation where they would have been tailor-made with Lamar. The Panthers, now obviously the Panthers were, you know, they were in the position they traded all their capital to get Bryce Young. Right now it's too early to tell. Bryce is having a tough situation. But I feel for the guy, man. That's just not a good situation right now for the Panthers. The team that I think, the Falcons, man, I mean, that team that kind of hurts the most because if you look at what we had going for us, you know, this dude loved Michael Vick, man. So this dude would have been came in, would have been a good replacement. You don't find MVPs that are that young, even though I know he has some injury concerns. You talk about a perfect fit, and I'm disappointed that we couldn't make that happen because this dude is – that one hurts the most is what happened this year. Tampa Bay, they left, you know, Baker Mayfield, you know, still that's in the situation. The 49ers are probably one team that they're probably okay with it because of Brock Purdy. They still could have Brock Purdy's, you know, contract, so they're kind of good with that. They kind of struck gold with that. They got lucky. The Lions, you know, again, Jared Goff, whatever, we didn't know what he was going to do, so you kind of got lucky with that too. Patriots, oh, my God, that's a situation where – Bill Belichick still might have a job, you know, if he had Lamar Jackson. And Robin of the Spins, you too, but the Saints also were on the list, but they didn't show any interest in Lamar because they decided to go with Derek Carr. And you talk about how that's not looking good, $40 million, whatever, later. And I'm not happy because I don't want to see Lamar on the Saints. But just an interesting situation as far as all those teams that that passed, you know, on Lamar Jackson, which is crazy.
Well, of all of those teams that you mentioned, I would say the teams that really would have done well with him would have been either the Saints or the Falcons. The other teams, right. The 49ers with Purdy, that's a whole different thing. But I think you put
Absolutely.
A guy like him on the 49ers with his abilities that he has, and that would be just that would have put them out of the stratosphere. You know, they would have been. Wow, you know. But those two teams, I think the other teams, I don't think, even the Patriots, I think Bill Belichick with his ego and his how he wants to handle things and he wants to be in control of everything, I don't think that would have been a good fit for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got you. That's the call.
Atlanta
would have
been a –
Yeah, good.
Much as I hate to see it, Atlanta would have been an incredible fit. You know, him and Bijan Robinson and in that backfield. And the way he utilizes his tight ends, you know, he went straight from Mark Andrews to Isaiah Likely. He probably would have had a quarterback that But if we haven't seen the quarterback elevate Kyle Pitts yet in Atlanta, and the way Lamar Jackson utilizes tight ends, that could have finally been your quarterback to get the best out of Kyle Pitts too. So, I mean,
right.
as much as I hate to say it, that's the team that I think, you know, could have possibly had a chance, right? The same situation was different. You know, they signed Derek Carr before Lamar Jackson became available after the franchise situation. So, I'm glad he's not in Atlanta. But that would have been a scary situation.
All the jerseys.
You would have wanted Derek Carr then instead of Lamar Jackson, is what you're saying. You're really, really happy with
that. No, I'm not saying that. No, trust me.
I know Lamar Jackson over
Derek Carr.
Right.
I was just saying that the Saints had made that decision before.
They had already made that decision. And their front office was probably going,
shut up. Why didn't we wait a while?
Yeah.
I would imagine.
They were a crapshoot.
I think the Saints would have went after them. Their Saints front office is pretty aggressive. I mean, they managed that cap and do all kind of crazy stuff. And I think they would have been a franchise if they hadn't made that decision on Carr already. I think they would have went after Lamar.
Yeah. We talk about how fans are crazy. I think we had during our dinner, Gary, we were talking about, you know, how Shaq left the Magic to go to the Lakers, and there was a poll that basically said 80-something% of the fans wanted, you know, they thought Shaq was making too much money, and Shaq saw that. That's why he left, was that one poll. So, like, you're like, it's crazy how he's actually looking at this, right, to say this is why I'm leaving the Magic, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Fans are nuts, man. We make some stupid stuff.
Well, the thing is, go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I saw that documentary where the fans in Orlando, 85% of them said they should not pay Shaquille O'Neal that kind of money. And Charles Barkley, who was still in the NBA at the time as a player, he says 85% of the people in Orlando are stupid. And so obviously Shaq saw that, and, you know, and that's why he entertained the L.A. Lakers and actually wound up with signing with the Lakers as a result of that, too. Mm-hmm.
Crazy. For the Lonzo Mourning, got that $100 million.
If they would do that poll in most of the cities around the NBA or NFL, and they picked out whatever superstar in it, they would all say that, because we're regular people, and you think of this, you know, person that's making, you know, $250,000 a game or whatever it boils down to making. I mean, you're like, yeah, that's too much money. We're all going to say that.
Yeah.
Now,
with these
NBA players, you know, Shaquille O'Neal says that. He had given his heart and soul at that point to that organization. He realized he didn't feel like the fans appreciated him. He made the right move for himself. Although I believe that if he would have stayed in Orlando with the team that they had, they probably would have won one or two championships as well.
Okay.
I agree.
You know, that's just,
I agree.
That's like today's new, you know, butthurt player in the NBA is in our topics is, you know, KD. Is he happy in Phoenix? He's not happy anywhere.
Yeah.
He's ready to leave.
Yeah.
You know, he could go to a team next year and midway through the season he's ready to make a move. He's just that temperamental of a guy.
Well,
that's
he
how
actually
James
came
Harden
out and denied that report. He said it's not true that he's not happy in Phoenix. So he actually came out and denied it, though. You know, who knows? Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at how things have gone in his career, it would stand to, you know, from OKC to, who do you go to next, Golden State? Yeah. And then on to Phoenix. I can see that being true at some point, even if he's not admitting it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right, Gary,
let's knock this out really quickly. The top five teams going into the playoffs here, and I'm going to kind of be really quickly because I know we got to talk about, you know, Rob's mock draft and your incredible trade here. So we'll talk about that as well, which I think is pretty crazy. But my top teams going into really quickly, I've got the Ravens because they've just been on fire, just knocking out teams left and right. The aforementioned Lamar Jackson, they're on a roll. I've got the 49ers number two just because of, again, they've been on that roll. My surprise team is the Texans. And, you know, again, I don't know if they're going to pull it off this weekend against the Browns, but I just like the way they're playing. They got a lot of confidence. CJ Stroud is playing well. I got the Bills. The Bills knocked off a very, very, you know, talented Dolphins team. But, again, we'll talk to that. They had some injuries for the Dolphins. They're kind of limping into the playoffs. And then my number five team is the Browns. It's just, you know, old man River Joe Flacco is doing some incredible things. You could kind of put the Cowboys in the two, Gary, but, you know, obviously that's what I've got going really, really quickly into the playoffs here.
Yeah. I have the Ravens number one. But say we just talked about Lamar Jackson and the impact that he's having on the game, their running game. The receivers that they have, they're really getting a lot out of Zay Flowers, a rookie out of Boston College, offensive
absolutely
line, and the physicality that they're playing with in the trenches and their defense. Really good, probably one of the better safety tandems in the league in Kyle Hamilton and Marcus Williams, right? Then the 49ers,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Brock Purdy, all the weapons that they have, George Kittle, the two wide receivers, McCaffrey,
Ayuk,
and their defensive line,
yep,
as well. Yeah, Ayuk and Debo Samuel. So 49ers. I got the Buffalo Bills, number three. Man, they're a hot football team right now, and they still have an elite quarterback, even though he's got to cut down on mistakes, is Josh Allen, right, and in that franchise. So I got the Buffalo Bills at number three. I got the Dallas Cowboys at number four. Dak, if it wasn't for Lamar Jackson, Dak will have a serious chance to get MVP this year. But Lamar has just been outstanding, so he probably won't win it. But Dak has been playing at an elite level this season. CeeDee Lamb and their defense as well. And then number five, I'm going to close with the Cleveland Browns and what they're doing.
Wow.
Joe Flacco's come in and been outstanding. And then Myles Garrett and that defense has been really good this year too. So I'll close with the Cleveland Browns at five.
Rob, you and I had the exact same fives. I put the Bills,
wow,
of course, the Ravens at one, clearly number one. Then the 49ers. I've got the Bills at three. I've got the Cowboys at four. And I've got the Browns at five, exactly like you did.
Wow. Great mind.
But I think, you know, that in that three, four, and five spot, there's, you know, several teams that you could put in there. But that's, you know, as we know, Andre, with your three, four, and five picks, there's a
– yeah.
You know, really, it's a – three, four, and five could be one of, you know, one – those three could be one of probably seven or eight teams.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's no shade to the Cowboys and like that, too, obviously, from that perspective. And the Bills, I know Josh Allen had a really tough go. He had a couple, you know, interceptions, and they kind of pulled it out. So I was thinking of, like, you know, really hot teams going into, you know, the playoffs. But it's no shade. I mean, they're definitely a talented squad, as we talked about. And Joe Brady's been doing yeoman's work with that squad, you know. So, again, he is running the ball more. I know Stephon Diggs, we talk about him and his play, and, you know, he's not getting as much, but they're becoming more balanced, which is what we talked about, too. So it's a good time for, you know, Josh Allen to start playing well. This is the playoffs, so, you know, we're here now. But good stuff. All right, Rob.
The Bills are a scary team, though. They're looking really, really good.
Very much so. They whipped up on the Dolphins, right? So, again, the Dolphins, even though Howell has, you know, he had three turnovers, and they still came back and won, which is tough to pull that off, you know. But Dolphins, we have some question marks about the Dolphins, too. I mean, you know, for sure.
To me, Buffalo.
And the Browns have a shutdown defense, so that, I mean.
Yeah. Buffalo and Cleveland are the only two teams, in my opinion, that got a shot to beat Baltimore and the AFC. Those are the two teams. I'm not saying they will, but they're the only two teams that I think have a shot or maybe are capable of pulling off the upset.
Who's that, Rob?
Against
who's that?
Buffalo
Cleveland,
and Cleveland.
Cleveland and Gotcha.
Only two teams, in my opinion, are capable of upsetting Baltimore in playoffs in AFC. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the Bills, they have the firepower offensively to do that. And the way, you know, Josh Allen moves around the pocket, and when he does take off running, he's so big and strong, it's hard to get him down. And then, like a team with the Browns, with their defense, you know.
They can shut him down
or at least contain him.
But see, that's the thing with Josh Allen. You know, you won't get hit by the Ravens guys. Those guys are going to come lay the wood on you, so you're not going to be running around with the Ravens, you know.
They always have.
So that's a physical team. Yeah, so you can't be tiptoeing around. They're going to let you know. Keep running, Josh Allen. You open target, my guy. So like you said, that's a physical squad. They just out-physical you. They're one of the teams, like we talked about, whenever they pretty much handled the 49ers, and you saw how good they could be, they handled the Dolphins. So, like you said, this is a pretty, pretty scary team, and they look like they are going to be the representatives in the AFC right now. But like you said, anything can happen in all the puzzle matchups, and, one team can get hot, and just it can be a situation where it could be an interesting playoff. Naj, what's up, my guy? Welcome.
Hey, what's up,
Naj? Hey, Naj, how you doing?
Oh, I'm cool, man. Glad to hear y'all on. Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing I add before y'all move on, everybody in the AFC has a fatal flaw. The NFC has kind of superpowers in Dallas and San Fran, and then in the AFC, Baltimore, you know, consensus favorite, but do you really trust those wide receivers? They can just not show up one day, and, you know, as we saw against Pittsburgh that day where they dropped all those passes. Buffalo, if you get good Josh Allen, you know what it is. You get bad Josh Allen, oh, man, that's scary. And with Cleveland, the defense is great, and Flacco's throwing it all over the field. But you know in the back of your mind, big game, Joe Flacco throwing a pick six to end their season, like that's real Cleveland-y. So, you know what I mean? The AFC is really flawed. And, of course, KFC, I'm going to call them, the Chiefs, the great Pat Mahomes, the worst wide receiver group we've seen in some time.
Yeah.
I just don't expect the Chiefs to score. So, I mean, who's scary out here? Miami's defense, everybody's hurt. Tua looks average. So, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
The AFC looks flawed.
Yeah, we'll talk about those predictions, too, coming up, too. So we'll get a chance to definitely dive into that as well. So stay tuned after this. We're going to let Rob jump into his mock draft. And, the first one, as Rob said, it is on our Talking Sports page. You got some trades, Rob. I didn't want to spoil the surprise, man. But if this actually happened like this, it would be phenomenal. There was another situation for The Athletic which had the Falcons trading up to number one to get Caleb Williams, which I think that would be amazing as well. But Jaden Daniels is, man, that would be a situation if that actually happened as well, man, without us giving up a lot of draft capital. So I'm sure we're going to talk about that, and we can get Naj and we can get Gary's thoughts on that as well. And there it is, my guy. I'm setting you up for that.
Yeah, and this first mock draft that I put together, you don't see this too often in the NFL. You see this in the NBA. It's a three-team trade between the Bears, Washington, and New England. So right now the Bears has the number one pick, Washington has the number two pick, and New England has the number three pick. But I actually have Washington moving up to one, New England moving up to two, and the Bears moving down to three. And the Bears pick up a couple of draft picks in return from both Washington and New England in this three-team trade as they move down. So I have Washington taking Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is actually from the D.C. area, so he'll be going home. New ownership group ready for a fresh start. Caleb Williams would be dynamic in that market, right? And we don't know who the head coach will be, but I will assume if you got an opportunity to draft a franchise quarterback like Caleb Williams, you want to get an offensive-minded head coach there in Washington. And I got Drake May going to New England at the number 2 pick, Marvin Harrison Jr. So in this particular mock, I got the Bears trading down, keeping Justin Fields, going with Marvin Harrison Jr. A lot of players in that organization are voicing their opinion that they want to keep Justin Fields. So we'll see how that goes. I think both could be a win-win for the Bears, right? If you go with Caleb Williams, you're resetting your franchise, and he'll be under a rookie deal for the next 5 years. Or if you keep Fields, someone who at least shown that he can play on the NFL level, you add you're adding Marvin Harrison to the mix. We got Arizona. They're already committed to Kyler Murray. Got him taking Alu Fashanu, probably the best offensive lineman in the draft, offensive tackle from Penn State at number 4. I got the Chargers taking Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia, giving Justin Herbert another weapon there. And the Giants, to me, is a team to watch in this draft. Obviously, they just gave Daniel Jones an extension prior to last season, and he's been out for most of this past season. But they're the other team that could be in the mix for Jaden Daniels here, right? In this particular mock, I got him going Malik Nabers, speedy wide receiver from LSU, to give them some more weapons. Then I got Tennessee coming in with Joe Alt, offensive tackle Notre Dame. And then it's hard as it was for me to write this. I got the Falcons taking Jaden Daniels from LSU at number 8. So the Giants, to me, are going to be that team to watch. But I do have the Giants trading back into the first round and drafting Bo Nix at number 27. So in this particular mock, they will get Bo Nix at 27, Malik Nabers at number 6. Maybe you give Daniel Jones another year and you develop Bo Nix and, you know, see what happens at that point. They got Michael Penix Jr. corner the Jets here, right? Aaron Rodgers, 40 years old, right? So it's an opportunity for Penix maybe to sit a year or two maybe, right? Aaron Rodgers can't play forever. Penix still has some mechanics issues that he's got to work on. He's got to improve his health and durability too. You saw that his mechanics were even pretty bad. I mean, he didn't have the protection that he normally had against Michigan even. So a lot of that had to play into that as well. I'll skip around here a little bit. I got my beloved Saints taking Jared Verse, big edge rusher from Florida State, 6'4", 260 pounds. That's kind of the mold that Dennis Allen like his defensive ends and edge rushers. And Cam Jordan can't sack any one of us on his show anymore. So he can still play the run pretty well, but he cannot rush the pass. He's coming out on passing down all the time now. So he's gotten old right in front of our eyes here. Then I got the Dallas Cowboys at 30, taking Kingsley Suamataya, offensive tackle from BYU. A big guy, tremendous pass protector and great in the run game as well. Then I'll go to the second round and I'll stop there. In the second round, I have the Falcons taking Chris Jenkins, big defensive tackle from Michigan. Son of the Chris Jenkins that played with the Carolina Panthers in the NFL. Wow. Great pass rushing defensive tackle at 3.5 sacks for Michigan this past season. I got the Saints at 45 taking Devontae Walker, wide receiver from North Carolina. But once he was reinstated, had a tremendous connection with Drake May. Saints, one highlight toward the end of the season. They have a very good young receiving core, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed and A.T. Perry, all three of them caught touchdown passes against the Falcons this past week. And you added Devontae Walker into the mix. That gives them four good receivers going into next year.
That was unnecessary.
Because Michael Thomas does not need to wear a Saints uniform ever again. He needs to go. He can't break off the line of scrimmage. And it's no coincidence the offense got better once he got hurt because he was a liability. I don't know why they kept trying to play him and try to make him work this year. So, and then closing Dallas, I haven't taken Kalen Bullock, safety from USC, gives him some depth in the secondary. Guys are tackling the
USC
team, three
defensive
INTs.
Player.
<It's
okay>.
Thanks, Rob.
Like,
you get a guy from the national championship team, and we get some schmuck from USC.
Nice. Now I want to watch the film breakdown with that dude so he could tell you how he was doing his job and everybody else wasn't doing theirs. It wasn't me.
I did my job. I did my part.
Good mind,
so,
Rob. Any comments on that?
Obviously, I can't go through the whole draft, but those who are listening, y'all can check it out on our Talking Sports with the 12th Man Facebook page.
Comments, Gary?
No, I'm done with all this, with the USC thing. Anybody but USC. Come on, Rob. There's a lot of teams out there.
Caleb Williams, man, come on. Good.
The Giants thing makes a lot of sense. That Daniel Jones deal is something like what Jared Goff had with the Rams, where there's multiple off ramps for them to get off that deal. So I could see them deciding to move on from them.
Actually, they can move on from after this year, after the 2024 season. There's a clause that they can move on from Daniel Jones.
Yeah, so he got that NFL funny money. Looks like he got $100 million, but good luck getting it. Michael Pena, I'm not too high on that guy. I just think age and injury history, man. I just don't see how you draft that guy in the first round. And I'm not including the championship game in this because he had no chance. That Michigan D line was way too much for that whole line. So, but yeah, everything else, man, 100, man, as always.
Well, I didn't like number one to the Redskins and then Bo Nix going to the Giants. I didn't like that, so you're going to have to fix that next draft.
That's hilarious.
Bo Nix's been an Oregon guy. You don't want to see him. That's like Jane Daniels going to the Falcons.
Well, I think he's going to be a solid quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Bo Nix?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's got an opportunity, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't want him to go to the Giants. I want him to stick with Daniel Jones. I want him to give him a big 10-year extension.
That's hilarious. Yeah, we all want that. Hey, Rob, I noticed that you didn't have – did you not have J.J. McCarthy in the first two rounds because you don't think he's coming out or you don't think he's talented enough? Or what's your kind of thoughts on him, if you will, too, from that perspective? Did I miss it?
You know, I actually have him going in the second round to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, you know, it could still be, you know, Baker obviously had a solid season for Tampa Bay this year. But, you know, I have them taking McCarthy in the second round, and maybe you can see an opportunity there for McCarthy to overtake Baker if that was to really happen, right? I actually think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a better NFL quarterback than he was college, in my opinion.
I agree.
Michigan had a strong running game. They didn't ask J.J. to do a whole lot, but I think he's potentially could be a better NFL player than he was a college quarterback, too.
So I agree.
He could very
well
run in the first round when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just missed it. I saw that a little later. I was like, did I not see him in there? Because I know you had Michigan, too, so that was on me. I didn't see how you had him on 47 to Tampa Bay because that's kind of like you were talking about Naj, too. That's kind of, you know, because, again, if we can get Jaden Daniels and or Caleb, you know, Williams, that would be a boon for the Falcons at this juncture but they kept having us mock Penix, and I just wasn't sure how he played, man, because, you know, just – it was tough to see him, like, limp around in the National League Championship game. And I was like, oh, this is a dude? I don't know. It's tough. But it's a crapshoot, man. You got to keep drafting to get your guy, 1,000%. I know we have to get to some predictions here. And before we get to the predictions, because I want America to hear my little rant. And, Rob, I've got Saints fans in my family. You're a pretty –
you got some
pretty
nice family members.
Calm Saints. What'd you say? No, I don't. No,
you got
I don't.
Some nice
no,
family good. Members if they're Saints fans.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So, you know, we have a situation where we got some calmness here. But what the Saints did with Jameis, that was some bullshit, man. That was terrible to do that. Now, this is my thing. I know we didn't stop them, you know, whatever, all that fun stuff, but it felt like Tyrann Mathieu didn't want to score or whatever. But if you're lining up in victory formation, that's like, you know, we're trying to like, hey, you know, we're not really going in. If you're gonna let that dude score, line up like real men and line up the goal line and like, let's get it. Now, if you're hearing what you're saying, that, you know, it's a brotherhood, right? If you're like, hey, you know, let him get his touchdown to get his bonus. Hey, talking to Falk, hey, he's trying to get his bonus. It's all good, you know, and I get it, you know. So that's where I think that's where the brotherhood comes in. I care less about that, too. You're riding with your ass, whatever. But for them to line up in victory and kind of fake it and hand off, F you, Jameis, F you, Jimmy Graham, F you, Saints, that's how I feel right about now. I think it's a Bush League asshole move. And I am going to stand by that 100% too. So you can talk about, oh, the team decided to do this, yada, yada, yada. You know, again, that's bullshit. If you really want to line up like men, get in a goal line situation, get that. Now, again, if he had to get a bonus, another conversation. Hit your ball. Let's get your bonus.
There's no
bonus involved. Trying to get his bonus. It's all good, man. But I'm saying, that's how you do it. The Jimmy Graham getting on there. I actually responded to him. I'm like, F you too. You said, F you, Jimmy Graham. It wasn't about defending Jameis and all that fun stuff. Y'all did. That was dirty, man. That was a dirty-ass situation move. All I got to say is wait till next year, and I get it. We have rivalries, just like Ohio State and Michigan. Why'd you go for two? Because I couldn't go for three. We get it. You know, the rivalry is in, you know. So I hate y'all with the passion even more. I don't hate you, Rob, and, you know, like I said again, but I'm just saying that was kind of shitty. I'm just saying I really hate Jameis Winston, man. That dude's an asshole, and he can take it to the grave. So that's my rant.
Not only should the Saints have scored that touchdown, they should have went for two, and they should have onside kicked. No, I'm joking.
But that's okay. My thing is, I'm cool with that because we couldn't stop y'all. But what I'm saying is, it's okay to do that, but don't like fake like in victory formation because that's like a safe formation. No one's trying. Like, but if you're like, I'm gonna give. Line up like real ass men. Let's get it. Let's get goal line. Stop us. And then, y'all got us? Cool. You know, that's all I'm saying. Show some respect. That was Bush League. I'm the same.
I'm a Saints fan, but I totally disagree with the Saints' antics on that play. And though I don't know how it came about, sounds like it was Jameis Winston's idea. The coaches told him to take a knee. He should have took a knee, right? He should have just took a knee right there in that situation. So, I mean, I'm a Saints fan, and I disagree. I mean, the game was already well in hand. There was no reason. And I agree, if you're going to run a play. But if you're going to be a victory formation, that was very Bush League on my part. You know, we've seen this happen before where players disobey, you know, I remember in 2014.
It happens.
2014, yeah. Sean Payton told Jimmy Graham, do not dunk the ball on the goalpost. What does Jimmy Graham do? He goes and dunk the ball on the goalpost. So Sean Payton lit into him like he did into Russell Wilson this year, right? And what the Saints do at the end of the season? They traded Jimmy Graham at the end of the 2014 season. So my assumption with that antic that Jameis pulled off, if he was the ringleader, and, you know, we don't know what all went on in that huddle, but if he was the ringleader, I can't see the Saints bringing him back, even in the backup role next season, similar to the Jimmy Graham situation in 2014 when the Saints traded him at the end of the year. So I agree with you. Hey, and for me, as a Saints fan, the thing that hurts the most is that play has superseded their performance in that game because – to me, you had a lot of young players who shined in that game for Saints that should give us some momentum going into next season. You got Kendre Miller, the running back, rookie running back out of TCU, had a heck of a game in that game and a touchdown. We had three young receivers that either second-year or first-year guys all catching touchdowns in that game. So some promising things to lead into next year, but the highlight of the game has been that non-factor touchdown at the end of the game. So for me as a Saints fan, you know, it's taking a lot of focus off some of the highlights that can carry into next season. So I'm totally with you. I didn't like it. I was there and I was at the game. I said, oh, we're in victory formation. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. And I was shocked when they ran it in. Yeah, so totally.
Well, I'll tell you what, if that were my team and I would line in and I would line it up against that team that did that same Bush League move, I'd have my guys, you don't, you know, you line up, you get set, You don't wait for him to hike the ball. You all rush in, you dive over, and you tackle that son of a bitch, is what I would do.
That's right. That's right, Gary. Hell motherfucking yeah. I don't want to cuss.
Yeah.
Hey, back. I calmed myself down. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I hope next year the coach, like, yo, remember that? Like, let's score 107. Let's do 70 on him. Like, I don't care, man.
Here's your five-yard penalty for offsides or whatever. Well,
yeah,
you want to give your idea.
And just to wrap it up, just put a bow in it. I kind of felt like, you know, I think the Falcons, they saw the score of the Tampa Bay game, and they just kind of like, you know, they just kind of just didn't feel like playing as much, or they just, I don't know, just didn't feel like they were in it, you know. I don't know. It could have been one of those kind of situations too, but nothing against the Saints. They played well.
You know, they never showed the score in the stadium. The Saints asked the stadium to not show the score. They didn't want to know. And Sean Payton used to do that when he was a coach too. So they never, I mean, I was able to check it because, you know, I'm a fan and a fan, you know, on my phone, but they never showed the score of that game in the stadium.
Yeah. Word got out. They knew, best of both worlds. It's the best of both worlds. You got a reason to have some anger for the rivalry going forward. And also now the Saints are bought in on that quarterback who had a wonderful game, but it's really going to break your heart for the next couple of years because we all know he is terrible. Yeah, it's dirty. As much as we blame Jameis on this, more than anything, this is an indictment of that coach, man. He got to go. He just ultimately doesn't have the respect for that locker room. It's one thing for, like, Sean Payton to have a beef with Jimmy Graham or something Jimmy decided he was going to go against and show out. It's a whole other thing when a whole offensive unit decides, we just going to blatantly disrespect this man and do what we want to do, and oh well. Like, he's got to go, man. Like,
well, I don't think there's a fracture between the coaching staff and the players. And the reason why I say this, I mean, obviously I follow the Saints extremely close. Now, I'm not saying Dennis Allen is a Bill Belichick or Vince Lombardi, right? He's still got a ways to go as a head coach. But when I look at the way the Saints played in the last five to six weeks of the season, I mean, they won four out of the last five games. They were very competitive. I mean, you don't beat a team, whether it was 41-17, 48-17, you don't beat a team that bad without the players playing hard for their coaches, right? So that's why.
Yeah, you do. You do. You're not necessarily winning one for the Gipper. Just because you play well against a rival, it doesn't mean you're doing it with the idea of we're doing it for this coach. I'm saying just on a respect level, there has to be an idea of somebody's in charge. This is Bane putting his hand on your shoulder.
Who's in charge of the huddle, though, Naj? That quarterback's in charge of the huddle. And if he says, hey, no, we're not kneeling, we're going to run play X.
Yeah.
Guess what? That offensive line, those teams are going to run. They're going to run the play. I think it's more James.
Yeah, but this was about Jamal Williams led the league in touchdowns last year. He's like a hard-working, not really talented guy, and because of the injuries, he played fullback for them. And like the guys on that team respect that dude, so that's why they wanted to get him that touchdown. So it wasn't just like James.
Understood.
Like,
well,
you know.
Well, which probably didn't get a lot of national attention. There was a local TV station that interviewed a whole bunch of Saints players, which I actually watched. And they interviewed all of these players and said, hey, do you guys lack respect for your coaching staff and things of that nature? And even Jameis said he's after the play, he apologized to Dennis. Those players –
they have to say that.
But you can tell, though, right? I mean, like I said,
easy to ask for forgiveness than permission.
You've seen teams quit on their coaches, right? You can see it in the performance. I've seen it before. I saw Jim Haslett in New Orleans. I mean, those players, Jim Haslett last year, really in the second to last year, I saw those players quit on Jim Haslett, right? You didn't see the players have that kind of effort. They didn't like them. And that's the reason why I would say, I'm not saying Dennis is perfect, but I did say these players competed for Dennis. And they all came out and defended Dennis after that play. They said, no, that's nothing to do with us lacking respect for Dennis. He's our coach. We love him. We want him to be here. So I think there's a lot of that didn't get the national attention outside of the – now, what I will say, I think Dennis should should not have went to the press conference and apologized again. Hey, he begged for forgiveness on the field to Arthur Smith, right? And Arthur Smith didn't want to hear it. So at that point, I'm like, I'm done. There's no reason for Dennis to go to the press conference. Hey, I want to apologize on behalf of
Arthur Smith. I was very appreciative of that. I'm not a fan of either team, but to hear a coach come and say, you know what, hey, I apologize for this. I thought that was big of him, actually.
Yeah. But I think that's where people was getting the perception that the players didn't respect Dennis, and that maybe that could be why Naj has that perspective too, right? I think that's where that started. When Dennis came to the press conference and apologized, a lot of people say, well, he didn't defend his players. And so that's why people were saying.
My perspective on it was just the fact that not only did they do it, it was just so blatant that the idea was, look, we know he's going to be pissed after this, but we're doing this anyway because it means that much to us to get Jamal a touchdown. Now, as far as Arthur Smith, dude, he just did what he was supposed to do as a coach. It was like going through the motions. Like, it felt like it wasn't really no
fire. He was already pissed.
I got to cuss at him now because they did that. So let me go over here and cuss at him.
And he was already pissed. Yeah. You know, his team just got whipped. You know, even if the score was 41-17, he was already pissed. And then you add salt to the wound. And that just made – he knew he was getting fired. I mean, he knew he was getting fired, whether the score was 41-17 or 48-17. And, yeah, he –
you got to think about it. This is the one thing in Arthur Smith's life that he can't control. His father's worth $5 billion. He can buy anything he wants, whatever lifestyle he wants, he can enjoy. But you know what he can't buy? One of those positions as an NFL head coach, and he knew that was going away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Yeah, a lot of things. Like I said, I didn't mean to, like, derail the show. I just had to get that out there because I was tweeting back and forth to Jimmy Graham.
Dude, this is going to be replayed on sports shows for 30 years. Like, dude, this is – we saw an event.
Wow.
Right.
Well, like I said, it's going to be interesting. We got about we're going to get ready for the OT. The OT, we're going to have a little abbreviated OT because I definitely want to get to some playoff predictions. I do want to talk about – what's happening with the Bears. It looks like, you know, we had the dust settle. There's been some surprise firings, obviously, with Pete Carroll, out. And I'm thinking that that could be an opportunity for Dan Quinn, guys. I don't know. We'll see if he goes up. Maybe Dan Quinn comes back to Seattle. I don't know. But we got to talk about that. We got to talk about, looks like we talked about the Bears. They're keeping Eberflus, whatever, but they fired the OC, the QB coach, and the wide receivers coach. So this is a lot of things we got to get into in an abbreviated OT portion of the game. But let's get through the OT, Rob. Let's get through the playoff predictions because there's a lot of games, a lot of interesting situations happening this weekend. We're going to get through that, and then we're going to kind of wrap it up as well because, Black Monday did happen, so I want to get through that as well. So go ahead, Rob, if you will.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to end our live portion of the show, getting ready to go into the OT. So please click on the same link to get the rest of the show this week. We got a lot more to cover. We got our NFL predictions to get to. We're going to talk about Black Monday in the OT portion. So you want to click on the same link starting tomorrow and the rest of the week. We want to hear from you all on Twitter, Facebook. We want to hear back. If you agree with us, disagree, we'd like to hear your feedback. We'll be back at you next Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night, we want to hear from the playoff teams on the East Coast, Buffalo Bills, Philadelphia Eagles, Miami Dolphins. That's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Time, Central Time Zone. We want to hear from Dallas. We want to hear from Houston. We want to hear from y'all as well on next week. It's going to be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. I don't think we got any NFL teams in the Mountain Time Zone going to the playoffs. So Denver Nuggets fans, we want to hear from y'all. Can y'all repeat? That's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. I think we're struggling with the Utah Jazz. And San Francisco, Oakland, the Bay Area, man, the Pelicans just went in there and kicked y'all ass tonight. 40-something points. We want to hear from y'all. The Pelicans got into that ass. We want to hear from y'all on the West Coast on tonight or next week. Good night, people.
As JQ says, go Chargers again, you know. So, again, a lot of fun for that, too. So, we're a lot of love from that perspective, too. So, yeah, go Chargers for sure. All right, gentlemen, we're getting ready to go to the OT portion, and we got to talk about some playoff games here. And
We're going to start right off the gate with you and your Cowboys, Gary. Love the jersey. You got the Packers at the Cowboys, and Jordan Love has been playing well. You've seen the progression that he's had this season. I know a lot of the Packer fans, they weren't sure what they were getting because I know it has been a roller coaster with young quarterbacks, but it seems like he's figured it out. The Packers are playing well. Now, again, we talked about it earlier how Dak and the Cowboys are playing well, too, and it is at Jerry's World. So I think in this particular instance, I think, well, the bright light kind of throw Jordan Love off and the pressure from Dak. Is that too much? You got your field goal kicker. We got that solved 100%. So that's at least that's back in the past. But is this Micah Parsons' game, CeeDee Lamb? Is this an opportunity for them to kind of like, you know, just, you know, put the Packers in the dust, if you will, Gary?
Well, it better be. But I think the Packers are going to come to play. I mean, I've been impressed with Love and what he's done. I wasn't expecting it. Now that they're playing in Dallas, I think it's going to definitely be a good game. Hopefully they can get enough heat on him and throw him off. But offensively, I think the Cowboys are set. Got some bodies back on the offensive line. And, you know, the way CeeDee Lamb has been playing has been incredible. And with Cooks on the other side, good tight end play. Dak's just been throwing the ball all around and really, really been playing well this year. His best season he's ever had as an NFL player. I think the Cowboys will win it 31-21.
If you double-team Lamb and make Cooks beat you, that's going to be interesting. So we'll see if the Packers do that. And the Packers play keep away running the ball. That's a situation that you got to really look at. Go ahead, Rob. I'll let you get to that too, my guy.
Yeah, I like the Cowboys in this one too. They have been tremendous at home. I think they were undefeated at home this year. And so they're an outstanding team at home. So it'd be hard-pressed for me to see. If you're a Packers fan, though, you got to be encouraged. You know, we talked about this in the offseason, right? You know, Matt LaFleur was, I think, quietly happy and excited to work with Jordan Love and happy that the prima donna Aaron Rodgers was out the door, right? And now you're starting to see that coming to fruition here and the progression of Jordan Love's game. I mean, his QBR here over the last month, I believe, has been like number one in the league. So I think if you're a Packers fan, you got something to be excited about. And the Packers are playing good defense. So I'm going to go 27-17 Dallas in this game. They'll win it by 10 at home.
Yeah, I think this is a bad draw. This is probably, to me, they're the most dangerous bad seed in the NFC, being the Packers. That wide receiver core is really good. They took risks on guys with, you know, really bad health jackets coming out. And it seemed to pay off. And if Christian Watson is able to suit up, that really changes things. We'll see. His hamstrings have been bad all season. But I got Dallas prevailing late, 35-32, because, you know, Jordan Love and company are still too young and too inexperienced. And Dak is going to make plays with CD. And that Green Bay secondary, man, they give up big plays a lot. So, yeah, we might see a Brandon Cook 60-yarder this game. But
Yeah,
I got Dallas prevailing late, man. Green Bay is better than people
think.
Yeah, I think they're good.
They're just a young team. I think we're all in agreement with that. Same thing I think about the Texans. They're just a young team that they're going to run into a more experienced situation, too. The next game, if you're the NFL, you know, again, we talked about what happened, Rob, in the season, because you got to think about all these teams that it was so close going to, like, the final week, right? And if you're the NFL, you talk about a perfect game. You got a lot of headlines with the Rams going to the line. Both quarterbacks switched teams, right? So you got, you know, Matthew Stafford used to play for the Lions, and then you got Jeff Goff used to play for the Rams. You talk about interesting dynamics. So are the Lions for real? This is their first playoff game in, what, 30 years, something crazy. You know, this is a situation, Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, some potential head coaching candidates. Are they distracted or – can they go through this upstart Sean McVay? Obviously, Paco Nua is doing his thing, you know, Cooper Kupp. Is this a situation where Matt Stafford plays out of his ass and, like, gets some payback for the Lions? Or do the Lions come in and kind of, you know, go against the curse? What say you? Naj, you want to take this first or Rob, you want to do it? I don't know who wants to grab it first.
Yeah, I don't mind if Rob is cool with it. Yeah.
No, go ahead, Naj.
This is in a dome. Matt Stafford in a dome is dangerous. Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp with that kid, Kyron Williams, running the ball. Yeah, this is my first upset. I'm going with the Rams to go into Detroit and pull off the victory. Detroit, really good offensively, but defensively, man, they give up a lot. And I don't know, man. Perfect conditions. I think Matt Stafford gets it done.
Wow.
Okay.
I agree here. This is one I have marked as an upset, man. The Rams are one of the hottest teams in the league. They've won 7 out of their last 8 games. They were 3-6, and they finished 10-7. And the one game that they've lost in the last 8 games was a road game at Baltimore in overtime. So they were like
wow.
The one team that's really hung with Baltimore with a full squad. Right? I mean, we know Baltimore lost the last game, but they didn't play a lot of their key players in that game. But, yeah, this Rams team is dangerous. I have them as one of the potential teams that can upset the 49ers in the NFC. So I agree with Naj here. I got the Rams going on the road, putting up 35 points, 35-27 win on the road.
Comes to an end.
Well, you know, when I was making my notes this evening and I was writing the teams down, I underlined both the Rams and the Lions because it's going to be – and Naj, you were talking about the last game we were talking about in the Packers, you know, it was really dangerous going in there, going against the boys. I think the Rams are the surprise team really in the NFC this year, maybe in the NFL, with where we were talking about them finishing last in their division, and they came on the last half of the season and really dominated. I'm not even going to pick a score, or I'm not even going to pick who's going to win in that, because I think it's just going to be right down to the wire. Do I have more faith in Stafford? Probably. I think the Lions have a better overall team, but we'll see. This is going to be a tough one. I'll go 31-28 Rams.
Yeah, I'm going to 35-30, 31 Rams too, because I think the Rams are going to come in and just kind of like shock the Lions. So, you know, again, we all kind of scared from this perspective. All right, we're gonna go the next. I don't trust golf, man. Again, but you know, it's a lot, man. It's a lot of pressure, I think. And Matthew Stafford's gonna come back and really take it to his old squad. That's what I fully, truly believe. We've got the Eagles at the Bucks. We talked about Scott Richmond, Rob, he thinks that the Eagles are gonna shit the bed. Baker Mayfield's health is really in question, right, because his ribs were, you know, you saw the game versus the Panthers, and his ribs having some challenge. And, you know, Nick Sirianni, all that fun stuff too. But I think the Eagles were pretty good the whole season. They kind of had a little bad run. But what say you on this one, Rob? Do they have enough to kind of pull off against the Bucs? And Tampa Bay did beat them. You know, this is how Jalen, you know, 2 years ago, whenever Jalen kind of had his little, you know, renaissance, his little comeback. But, you know. Is this kind of give it to the Rams again, Rob?
Yeah, you know, this game kind of makes me sick right now because the Bucs won a division at 9-8, and the Saints were 9-8, and I believe the Saints are playing better than the Bucs right now. And the Saints would have beaten the Eagles this weekend because it feels like we're being played a ball. But I think the Bucs are playing better ball too. So I got the Bucs at home beating the Eagles. The Eagles are struggling right now. Jalen Hurts is not 100%. You mentioned Baker Mayfield not 100%. Jalen Hurts is not 100% as well. Tampa's got a tremendous defense. Todd Bowles is going to have that defense ready to play. We know that. And that there's just something that's not right with the Eagles right now. You know, A.J. Brown is in question here as well. The Eagles' defense hasn't been playing well. I mean, they let the Giants kick their ass. I mean, I'm not confident in this Philadelphia Eagles team. They have, just like we said, the Rams are hot. The Eagles are just the opposite. I mean, they've been 1-5 in their last 6 games. I'm going with the Buccaneers. I think it's going to be a close game, though. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers 16-13 at home.
Well, the Eagles have shit the bed the last part of the season. I mean, it's just – I don't know why, because we were talking about them as the 1-2 or 3 best teams in the league not that long ago this season. Mm-hmm. And they went from that to where, and I don't know exactly why, coaching, or I don't know, maybe they've lost the locker room there. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's not all about the injuries. It's not all about, because every team in the league at this stage of the season is bruised and beat up.
Yeah.
It's mental. Those are the mental stuff. The bumps and bruises, you can overcome. But the mental stuff, that's tough. And if they got in their head, you know, they're, you know, it's almost like they're questioning whether or not they can beat anybody when they go in and they start losing, and you lose and you lose. And I've got the Bucks winning this one. Rob, I think you're spot on the score. You know, 16-13 is just 17-13, something like that is about right. I don't see the Eagles winning this game either with how they're playing. They could turn things around. I don't see it happening.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, all of it, man, everything they said is 100% correct. All of the concerns are real. But, however, I'm still going 2013 Eagles. I'm going 2013 Eagles. I think everything y'all said is true, but that Tampa Bay team needed three field goals to beat that terrible Carolina team, because the offense is essentially Baker throw jump balls to your boy.
Mike Evans.
Mike Evans. And I just don't think that's enough. I think the Eagles play a close-to-the-vest game, and, you know, they get enough to win. But, yeah, Jalen is banged up, and that offense, they're not a contender. I just think they get this game.
Yeah. Now, that's kind of what I'm thinking, too.
That makes sense, too.
I don't necessarily trust Baker as much. And then whenever, like you said, Rob, I know the Eagles haven't been playing that well, but I don't know why they only scored, like, a couple field goals against the Panthers. And I know the Panthers had that touchdown kind of called back because of that crazy play where the thing, but it's like a bum fight, both sides. You kind of go either direction, honestly. But I do think,
I mean, you talk about
having enough talent. Yeah, go ahead.
We talk about Tampa only scoring 9 points in Carolina, but we also got to talk about the fact how bad the Eagles look against the Giants. So, I mean, both teams were equally bad. But, I mean,
I think the Giants are better than the Panthers, though, honestly, because, you know. But, again, everyone gets paid, right?
Slightly.
We can talk about that,
better.
You know. Right.
Well, against a division rival like that, you know, anything can happen. That's like in this last game with the Cowboys, and, you know, the Cowboys went down and scored, and then they messed up, and the Redskins came down and scored and kicked a field goal. Now it's 10-7, and I'm like, this is what I'm thinking at home. I'm thinking, oh, great, here we go. Another one of those damn division games fighting me in the ass. Cowboys came out, but, they're not coming out of those games. So that's why I'm picking against them this week. But, you know, Naj has a good point, too. You know, both teams are – I think this is going to be the one that is my least desirable game to watch of all of them.
Yeah, I will say. Yeah, I'm gonna say, like, neither one of these teams in the playoffs, but somebody's got to go because they're playing against each other. But neither one of them advance. But breaking news: Dennis Allen just called the Golden State Warriors to apologize for the Pelicans beating by 40 points.
No, he did not. What if the Eagles call Wink Martindale to fix their defense? The Giants just let him go.
That would be hilarious. Oh man, Wink Martindale was hot. That Brian Daboll, man. That was The Giants got some problems for real, man. So that's a whole other conversation right there. But you know, he was hot about firing his guys, man. So he's you know. Yeah, he may be like, yo, how can I play the Giants twice a year, man? We'll talk about that too. But I agree with you, Naj. I think it's the Eagles. It's going to be a squeaky game. It's like 21-17, 21-13, something like that. I think the Eagles are going to, you know, that's what I got for that prediction. We got the Browns at the Texans, and this is another pretty intriguing matchup. We got two more to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of similar to the Packers and the Cowboys. I think the Texans are going to start out really hot, but then they're going to kind of fade because that Browns defense is really good. This is C.J. Stroud's first experience in the playoffs, so I think they're going to be hype, man. They're going to be pretty
pretty adrenaline is going to be going for them, and they may, you know, they're going to hang for a little while. They're going to fade because that defense is great. Joe Flacco, like we talked about, he's had a little fountain of youth here. But again, it'll be a good experience for the Texans to have this. But I think they're going to go now. I think it's going to be, I would say it's going to be a 27-24 game, if you will. So I'm looking at, it could be a little higher, but that's kind of what I'm thinking right now. So, yeah.
And you're taking the Browns?
Taking the Browns, yeah. They may score 21, yeah, but it could be 30-21, something like that. I think the Browns have a great defense. They're going to confuse, CJ Stroud a little bit. But he's playing well. CJ Stroud is playing well.
Yeah.
Bobby Smolder's got the offense playing.
Yeah.
I think D'Amico Ryans could get head coach of the year. You know, just a great story for what he's been doing for that turnaround for the Texans.
Well, and he deserves that. He deserves the defense. I mean, he deserves the head coach of the year, and CJ Stroud deserves the offensive rookie of the year. They definitely both deserve those awards. But in this particular game, I think Houston's season is going to come to an end. I think Cleveland and the veteran leadership of Joe Flacco and the way they're playing in the trenches right now, I think it's going to prevail against Houston. I'm going to go 23-14. I think Houston's animated and hype in the beginning, but I think the long run of the game, Cleveland holds on and kind of dominates into the second half, 23-14 Browns.
I've got the Browns in this one. But it wouldn't surprise me if the Texans win it. But I'll take the Browns 21-17 in this one.
Okay.
Yeah. Nas, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm on the same mindset as you guys. Give me Cleveland 16-10. I think we see an ugly game, defensive game, and Flacco doesn't make enough mistakes to cost Cleveland the game. So I think they take 16.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Bernie Kosar.
So he's only throwing two pick sixes?
Yeah, just two picks, but no pick sixes. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Hey, guys, I think I made that joke.
Yeah,
Bernie
all
day
Bernie
Kosar
is not coming through that door.
Yeah, man. Bringing it back to old Brown squad, man. Benny Testa Brian Bernie, remember Sykes. That back in the day? Oh, my goodness gracious. I love it. The next game, interesting, this is going to piss off a lot of people because is this the game that's on streaming only on Peacock? Is that the one? Is this game right here, the Dolphins at the Chiefs?
Yeah.
So pretty interesting here. And this is one of those games where it's like, what the hell? Because now we talked about it. Naj, you said it earlier because who the hell is Patrick Holmes throwing to? We said Rob, we talked about it. Travis Kelce is kind of a shell of himself because he's been hurt. He's been playing on that hurt ankle. Patrick Mahomes have enough magic. The Dolphins, you know, again, we don't know what the hell Tua, you know, he looks good with Jekyll and Hyde. But they got a good run game, and Mike McDaniel, you know, that offense, you know, but doesn't come to an end. You know, this is a situation. The former Super Bowl champs are – or not Super Bowl, you know, back in the day. But what say you? I'm going to throw it out to you, Naj. What do you got for this one, man?
Yeah, I think this is the game that convinces Mike in Miami that, okay, I can't do this with anybody. And I think this is the game that gets him off Tua. I think that Kansas City defense is really good. I think the offense won't score many points, but they won't make many mistakes. And this game is going to be bitterly cold. They're talking about negative 12 so far. So, give me Kansas City 17-10.
At Arrowhead.
And Mike McDonald gets a new quarterback next year for that innovative offense because Tua's not the guy.
Mm.
Wow. Well, I mean, I kind of pretty much agree with everything Nye says, except for the Tua part. I'm not going to go that far just yet. But I agree that Kansas City is going to win this game. Miami hasn't played well against the good teams on the road all season. And as you mentioned it, right now they're saying -5 in that game. I mean, these guys are leaving South Beach to go play in -5 now. Tyreek Hill, I'm pretty sure, is going to be hyped about this game. I'm sure he really wants to beat Kansas City. But as Nas mentioned, Kansas City's defense has really been their best unit. In
played
years
well.
Past, their offense
played
has
well.
Been their best unit. But their defense has been their best unit, Chris Jones. They got two really good cornerbacks in Snead and Trent McDuffie. on that Kansas City's defense as well. Probably one of the better cornerback duos in the league, quietly. So, yeah, I like Kansas City in this game, too, at home. I'm going to go 23-17 Chiefs.
I think that's going to be a high score with that kind of a temperature and how these offenses are going to struggle. I'm going to go Kansas City at home because of the weather. Naj, what did you say, 16-10, Kansas City?
Yeah, I think so.
Because that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to be much of a game, really. And I'm glad it's on TV. I won't even watch it.
Yeah. I'm going to go against the grain just because, you know, I just want to be – no, it's that Arrowhead, man. No, it's going to be interesting. What's also interesting is Tua has – you know, they compare Michael Penix to Tua as well, which is interesting. I don't know if that's even good or bad, but I don't know because he's left-handed or whatever, too. But that was funny. Somebody was like, yeah, he's like a Tua. I'm like, what the hell did that come from? But, yeah, we'll see. The Kansas City and the defending Chiefs, is that Kansas City – it's going to be tough for Miami to pull this off now. I think it's going to be a 16-13, something like that, too, as well for Kansas City. Last game, let's get to this. Steelers at the Bills. We know that Mike Tomlin's been going through some stuff. We've heard some dissension with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and whatever's been going on. And
they might leave Pittsburgh,
too. Correct, right? So, but – we talked about it. The Bills have been playing well, right? The Josh Allen, we check a little high again, but I think that it's at the Bills. I think they're going to pull this off, you know, because, again, it's just one of those great situations where the Bills are playing well, man. So I think this is their time to kind of, again, get the monkey off the back, and they're going to handle the Steelers. I would say 27-17 is my call for this.
To me, this is the one game this weekend that really has the potential to be a blowout in favor of Buffalo. Pittsburgh is not that good. I mean, I know they're well coached. I just don't think their team is very good. And Mason Rudolph, I'm not sold on him having a huge impact on this game. I'm going to go Buffalo 27-7.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, this is the one game that has the potential to be a pretty sizable victory by Buffalo out of all the games this weekend. I just don't think Pittsburgh is a legit playoff team, in my opinion. And to me, we got a lot of teams that's in the playoffs that are not legit playoff teams this year for whatever reason. It's just one of those years where we only got like a handful of elite teams. So we got a lot of teams that are in the playoffs and not good, but Pittsburgh is definitely, in my opinion, not a good football team.
Well, Pittsburgh is a team that, if the Bills have some nerves and start off slow, Pittsburgh is that team that can ugly a football game up really well.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do that, it might not be a blowout. It'll be a loss, but it might not be a blowout. That's the only way they're gonna it's gonna be close. The Bills with some nerves and just some overthrown balls from, you know, a quarterback that's just a little too amped up, maybe creating a pick or something for the Steelers. But I'm still going with the Bills. 21-17 Bills.
Cool.
Yeah, look, man, if your car breaks down, call Mike Tomlin. He'll show up with a pencil sharpener and a stapler, and he will fix your engine, and your car will be running somehow. Like Rob said, this is a bad team. They have no business in the playoffs. He's that good, and, you know, respect to them for this season. Getting to the playoffs is an accomplishment for the talent that they have. But in this game, they need, like, 10 inches of snow and probably 4 Josh Allen turnovers to barely win. So,
wow.
So to me, like, yeah, I just don't see how they hang around. T.J. Watt, you know, he's banged up, so he may not play. So I just don't see how they win.
He's not playing.
I
think they ruled him out already.
Yeah,
they need an act of God in snow, and they need Josh Allen to be the worst version of himself to win. So, yeah, I got Buffalo just kind of easily walking away from this bad team and getting them out of there. Give me 20-3.
Well, Miles, the only thing I'd say about that is there's no middle of the road with Josh Allen. Either he's phenomenal
right.
or he's a complete shit show.
Yeah.
So if they get that complete shit show, they can ugly it up and at least lose by 4 or 5, maybe.
Yeah. Right.
Buffalo should win this. All right, we should be wrapping this up here. I don't know if there's anything. I know we could talk about a topic. We could pick one because we're going to spend a lot of time talking about coaching vacancies and stuff like that too. I think really quickly, I'm curious about the top candidates for the Titans and where Mike Vrabel. We kind of feel like Mike Vrabel is kind of like earmarked for the Patriots position. If that may be a situation where let's see what happens. If Bill, I know you love talking about this, Gary. Bill necessarily doesn't get fired. Maybe he kind of gets pushed up to like an executive position or a GM or something like that, and then you bring Vrabel in. That may be a good look for the Patriots. I think we talked about it last week. Russell Wilson, it'd be a good look if he goes to the Raiders because he can get his revenge on Sean Payton twice a year. That is must see TV. I want that to happen so bad.
I would love to see
and
that,
him though. To be throwing passes to Davante Adams, just giving Antonio. That's what I'd love to see from Russell Wilson. But who knows what happens with that too, man. So, again, I don't have to come back to Atlanta because of the future here. But that's a whole other conversation. But that's what I'd love to happen as far as my two quick topics to talk about really quickly. So there you go. Mm-hmm.
Well, with Belichick, why would you move him up into a different position? He's a horrible drafter. You know, he hasn't been that guy that they've been able to draft make the really good draft picks consistently. He's hit on a few, but he misses a hell of a lot more than most. So why would you want to move him up? And is Belichick that guy that would say, yeah, I'll take that other position? He may be that guy to say, either I'm here or you're going to have to fire me.
That could be, he's been tied. I don't know if Robert Kraft has the guts to get rid of him, though. But we'll see, because, he's done a lot. But, that's, again, very interesting from what we're
Well, he's done
to.
A
he
lot with Brady.
Yet.
He hasn't done jack shit without Brady in his entire
100%,
NFL career.
100% accurate.
So,
100% accurate.
And I got to beg to differ with Rob
accurate.
Earlier in the show. He talked about Belichick and Lombardi in the same, in the same category. You don't talk about Lombardi and Belichick. You talk about Shula and Lombardi or Landry and Lombardi or some of those great coaches. You don't put Belichick in that conversation.
You got to let that hurt go, man. That terrible man is in that tier, man. You got to let it go. He's that good, man. He deserves it. Now, you're right.
He's not that good.
Evaluator,
he had Brady.
And a GM.
That's it.
As a talent evaluator and a GM, he leaves a lot to be desired. I don't think they should move him up. I think more than likely he gets on a big old fishing boat with Nick Saban, man, and they go out and vacation and kick it and talk and do game day and do Monday Night Football every once in a while and enjoy their older, their golden days. I think we see him walk away. Vrabel, same as the Nick Saban situation. Don't follow the legend. Let somebody else get fired, and then you go take the New England job. Vrabel, he's going to be highly, considered for a lot of these jobs out there. I think he is a good coach. He just ran into, bad situation in Tennessee. But, man, this is going to be interesting, man, because the trades are going to determine who gets one of these jobs, man, because somebody's going to want Caleb Williams walking into the door and take on a franchise. That makes one of these jobs more attractive.
Yeah. And I think for the Titans, I think they give a Ben Johnson, the Lions offensive coordinator, a strong look here. I mean, it seems as though they want to turn the franchise over to Will Levis, right, a young quarterback. With that being said, you probably want an offensive-minded head coach that can work with them. Obviously, if you don't want to go to the offensive side of the football, you got to consider Dan Quinn from the Cowboys. And if the Raiders don't give Antonio Pierce the job, then I would think you got to consider Pierce, too, as a candidate in Tennessee. But I will go Ben Johnson, 1, Dan Quinn, 2, Antonio Pierce, 3. as some candidates that could fill that position in Tennessee.
There is an outside rumor about Arkansas.
I think the only
there,
Dan Quinn would take would be the one in Seattle. Myself.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's what I think, too. I wasn't saying to put Bill Belichick in a Jim Ross. They may just move him in a different capacity. But, again, I can see him, like, walking away, like, I'm done, you know, because that dude is pretty curmudgeon. He's been an old curmudgeon as it is, too, man. So, but, you know, let him do what he's got to do, man. So, but it does seem like Vrabel is earmarked, but that's interesting. You don't want to follow that legend, but it's not much to follow at this juncture because you've pretty much taken that Ferrari running into the ground, man, without Brady. So we'll see how that plays out. I think that's it. Was there anything else you're tracking you want to do as far as anything else you want to talk about, guys, or wrap this up? Because I know if we can be here another 10, 20 minutes talking about stuff, and I'm sure the lady's going to start cutting this off shortly too. But is there anything else you wanted to really talk about before we wrap this up?
Only thing I want to mention here, the rumor is that Dan Lanning is emerging as the leading candidate to replace Nick Saban at Alabama. So we'll have to see if that's true or not.
Wow.
Obviously, he's done a tremendous job at Oregon. but that's what the rumor is going around already, that Dan
that's
Lanning
crazy.
Could be a top starter for Alabama.
No.
AKA
wow.
The buyout job. The job to where you just – make sure your buyout is really good because they're going to run you out of town on a rail. Please believe it. The expectations are so high, there's no way you meet them in Bama, man.
Yeah. There's actually a report that he's already in Tuscaloosa.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Well,
mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it later.
Yep.
Anything else?
I think they should go for Mario Cristobal.
Oh, my God. You just try to get rid of Mario.
Oh, my God.
I'm out of there, Gary. It's funny, Nas, we were going back and forth, too, how we were talking about how, you know, how Saban, like, what is it, 1980, how Saban replaced Pete Carroll. It's crazy how, you know, kind of going back to how that went and just how, you know, Saban got out before he gets fired. Man, I thought that was funny, man. You were cracking me up with that, too, Nas, man. So,
in Alabama Saban's are ridiculous. Like we got to understand that. Like, Saban, he's one of the greatest to ever do it, and the pressure with the change in NIL and everything else, it was probably too much. Like, man, dude, what am I doing this for? Let me go live my life. So Saban's out, but the expectations don't change. If you go 9-3, dude, they're talking about firing you. That's what it is in Alabama.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, didn't have a chance.
Yeah. What's that?
I said Cristobal didn't have a chance. Honestly. Get out of here. You're out of here.
Oh, Mr. Recruit, but can't coach? Oh, my God. Dude, the Alabama phone lines would be on fire, Cristobal.
Oh, that would be great.
Oh, man.
Well, let's get
like
off this line. You know, it's getting late for us senior citizens down here in Florida.
Like I said, gentlemen, we appreciate you. We're looking forward to a great weekend of football. I'm sure we'll connect. We'll be texting throughout the week. But, gentlemen, have a good one. Shout out to JQ. Hope you're doing good. Good job, man. Appreciate you, Rob, putting the topic together as always. Gary, being early, you're my my Tom Coughlin guy. You always get there early, man. So appreciate you as well, man. So way to hold down the fort, man. So, again, good stuff. So. Nosh, call in, man. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate the feedback as always, man. We love your
absolutely
love your commentary
thanks
too, man.
Very insightful.
All right,
my guys. Have a great
man. It's always good stuff. See y'all.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Be safe. We'll
good
talk
night,
soon. Good night, people.
Good night.